Well, good morning again, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you. I forget exactly when Stephen first came up the road to Ballinahinch to ask me to come and speak at the mission. It was probably October time at the end of last year, but it feels like one of those days, you know, that's ages away, that's next March, you know, Christmas is still to come and all the rest. And here we are at the beginning of 2 weeks of mission. As a church up in Ballinahinch, we have been praying very much that the Lord would move here, that many would come to know Christ as their Saviour over this next fortnight, and we do indeed pray that that will be the case. But it is a real privilege and a real honour to be down with you. And yes, I'm nervous, yes, it's always intimidating to go and preach anywhere, but I don't expect to have to survive up the mountains with my two penknives and my book all being well. Although you can see me at the door on the way out if you want to chase me. That's up to you. But a privilege to be with you. Folks, I was here, if you remember, back at the start of the year. But if you weren't here, let me just say briefly who I am. My name is Scott Woodburn. Scott Andrew Woodburn, to be precise. Named after my granny. She was called Sarah Ann Pressure. And I was supposed to be a wee girl. But as you see, I certainly wasn't that. So instead of calling me Sarah Ann, I got my granny's initials, Scott Andrew Woodburn. A man of the city, a Belfast man, an East Belfast man. I heard those words there this morning and my heart soared. Craigie Road. That takes me back. That's not where I was from. I was from the Bears Bridge Road, a place called Bloomfield near Conswater. That's where I'm from. I'm a husband. I'm a father to three wee girls. I'm a Presbyterian minister. I support the Glens. I am very, very handsome. All those things are true about me. But if you've never heard me before, if you've never seen me before, then what sets me apart, what makes my life direction and meaning and all the rest of it is the fact that I am a Christian man. I am a saved man. And that's why I come here today to preach the gospel to you, to share with you the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am many things, but most of all, I am a Christian. And by the end of this next fortnight, my prayer is very, very simple, that you too will be a Christian. Now, I know many of you are. I know many of you know and trust the Lord as your own, but there will be some of you, no doubt, in this room today who do not know Christ. My prayer is simple, that by the end of this fortnight, you can say, I'm a husband, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a friend, I'm whatever, but I am a Christian. I know Jesus as my Savior. That is what brings me to Kilkeel. With all my nerves and all those feelings, I come here confident in Christ, and I want to share him with you. For me, it was back on November the 16th, 1998, that I came to trust the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I don't have time to go into it all today, but one moment stands out. I think I maybe shared this at the start of the year. I was once a very thick-necked young Protestant, fighting for God and for Ulster. I didn't know God, but that was this random wee phrase that I would throw out. And when the Good Friday Agreement was signed, along with Ian Paisley and many others, I climbed the hill at Stormont to protest at the signing of this agreement. I didn't want it. I thought it was a bad idea. And that night I was going to change the world. I climbed to the top of the hill. We climbed back down it. And nothing had changed. And that Sunday was Easter Sunday morning. I was part of a youth group in McQuiston Memorial Presbyterian Church, and we were up another hill, up in Henry Jones in East Belfast, the Castlereagh playing pitches. Lovely view up there. If you're romantic and curtain, you can go up there and look at the view. It's gorgeous. But we weren't curtain that day. We were up for the dawn service, and all my fellow youth group were laughing at me because they had seen me on TV protesting up at Stormont, and I was embarrassed. Now, I'd never been embarrassed before about my thick-necked Protestantism, but I was embarrassed that day. And it dawned on me, I am on the wrong hill. I'm up Stormont when I need to be at Calvary. I'm up Stormont fighting for Ulster and all those things when I need to be bending the knee before Christ at Calvary. And folks, that was a turning point in my life. I didn't come to faith there and then. It was later on, that November, as I said. And it was a simple prayer in my wee bedroom in East Belfast. I prayed that the Lord would forgive me my sin and that he would save me come into my life and transform me. And he answered that prayer. It was simple. It was quiet. No choir singing. It was wonderful. And folks, that is what I pray happens to some of you. that maybe this will be that turning point. And maybe it'll be 6 months down the line that you come to know Jesus, but that you will come to know Jesus. I was lost completely in East Belfast, thinking it was all about where I was from and who I was and what I was standing up for. And very suddenly that Easter, and then later on that year, I realized, you know what? It's all about Christ. I need to trust the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ as my own, or there is no hope for me. Folks, that is who I am. Some of you have heard a wee bit of that before, but keep that in mind. Why does this boy stand before us and shout at us? What brought him down the road? Was it to survive in the mountains? Absolutely not. It was to tell you about Jesus. Because there is nothing as important as Christ. There is no greater message than the message of Jesus Christ crucified and raised. And there's no greater challenge to any one of us than for me to look you in the eye this morning and tell you straight, you must be born again. You must. It is the truth, it is the reality, and I pray the Spirit works here today. In this passage that we read this morning, Jesus has been handed over to Pilate. Pilate tries to let him go free. Pilate realizes this man is innocent, but if you know the story, ultimately he washes his hands of Jesus. Jesus is handed over to those who wish to crucify him. And by the time we come to this passage in Luke's Gospel, Jesus is being led out to death. But he is not on his own. We're told in verse 32 that two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him that day. We don't know these guys' names. We don't know very much about them. We don't know who missed them. We don't know if they had families. We don't know if a mother wept for her son somewhere in the distance that day. But the scriptures tell us two others, criminals, were led out with Jesus that day to be put to death. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there those criminals were crucified alongside the Lord Jesus Christ. One was on the Lord's right and one was on the Lord's left. Folks, as I said, we know little about these guys, but the Gospel gives us a bit of a fuller account about them. Earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, he tells us that actually at that day, both of these men made fun of Jesus. They hurled insults, they mocked him, they laughed at him, they scorned him. Both of them joined in. But Luke takes up the story and he tells us something happens this day to one of them. Jesus cries out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they humiliate him by casting lots for his clothes. And the people standing by watching, and the rulers were scoffing at him. And they say, thinking that they have destroyed and defeated this Jesus, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. And then soldiers come, and they mock, and they offer Jesus sour wine, and they say, if you are the King of the Jews, then save yourself. And there was an inscription over him saying, this is the King of the Jews. It's all very jovial, all very frivolous. They think that this Jesus crucified before them is finished. They think that this problem called Christ is over. He is defeated on the cross. It's game over for this Jesus. And so he is game to be mocked and laughed at and scorned. And yet for one of these thieves, one of these men who start this day also mocking and also laughing, a change comes over him. Luke tells us in verse 39, after all this mocking had taken place, one of the criminals who hanged railed at Jesus and said, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But look what happens in verse 40. The other rebukes him this time. Earlier he had mocked him, but this time he turns to his fellow thief and rebukes him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly. For we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man, this Jesus, he has done nothing wrong. Wow, do you see the change in this thief? Once mocking this Jesus and now defending him, standing up for him, saying to the other thief, what are you doing? Do you not fear God? We are punished justly, but this Jesus, this guy, he has done nothing wrong. And friends, we see there how the Holy Spirit works and how the Holy Spirit transforms. And even in the dying hours of this thief's life, the Lord is at work and bringing him to a place where he realizes, I don't need to mock this Jesus. I need to believe this Jesus. I don't need to scorn him or spit at him or call him names. I need to bend the knee before him and accept him as my own. See, there is hope While there is breath in our body, there is hope. And folks, I ask you this morning, who do you think you are? What is it that identifies you in this world? I don't know Kilkeel very much. I remember it from a child when we would go to Cranfield to the caravan. And my dad would say to us, come on, we're going to get the bus into Kilkeel. And we never would. He was a chancer. We walked us all the way into Kilkeel for 4 miles and it cut the feet off us and hurt our legs. I don't know much about this place other than it's a bit of a long walk from Cranfield. But you know it. And you are known in this town. And how are you known? Are you the fine, upstanding local businessman? Is that where you find your identity? Are you the person with the 17 children and some of them are a wee bit wayward and the rest are good? Are you the person with the family who have been here for generations? There would be no Kilkeel Presbyterian Church without your family. Are you someone that really maybe Kilkeel hasn't noticed? And perhaps sometimes you think to yourself, if I was away, they wouldn't miss me at all. Who do you think you are? What is it that defines you? What is it we would say about you if this was the last day for you on great planet Earth? But for this thief, there wasn't much to say apart from the fact that he was guilty, he was being punished, and he deserved death. And yet, his identity is about to be radically transformed because the Spirit works and he comes to know Jesus as his Savior. Look what he says. Jesus, verse 42. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. He asks the Jesus who he had mocked to remember him. And I love the truth of this passage that we don't know this man's name. We know his identity, that he is a thief, but we don't know where he's from or if he had family or anything else. We don't know much about him, but he comes to know Christ as his Savior. Jesus, will you remember me? He asks. Will you remember me? And folks, today you might be many things. You might have a big reputation in this town. You might be all known in this town. But all that matters today is what you do with Jesus. And I ask you, have you turned to your Savior and said to him, Lord, will you remember me? Or are you on the other side to the man, Jesus, in the middle? And are you on the other side with the other thief who even right up to his very dying breath hurled insults at Jesus? And you think to yourself, well, I would never do that. We're good people in Kilkeel. I would never hurl insults at the Lord. But friends, if you reject Jesus, if you reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, if it's one ear and out the other, if you come here week after week after week and you listen to every sermon, but it's irrelevant to you, then exactly what you're doing is rejecting Christ. You are pouring scorn upon his claims. You are looking him in the eye and saying, I don't think you matter very much. Friends, do not reject this Jesus. Do not turn your face away from him. This day, the first day of this mission, may this be the day that you come to know him as your Savior. Because many of us think that we've got everything we need in life. Many of us think that we are on the pig's back and everything is sweet. We're going to live forever and everything's always going to be good. But the reality is, absolutely not. One of the things I love about Kilkeel is when I've been down at Mourne doing Cafe 180, you get to talk to the people afterwards. And one of the things that I discover quite quickly is that everybody in Kilkeel, it seems to me, goes on holidays to Cranfield. I was talking to the young guys that night, and every one of them had a caravan at Cranfield. And this blows my mind. That would be like me going on holiday to Saintfield. And that makes no sense. Saintfield's a nice enough place, but I wouldn't want to go there. You know, it's too close to the Out Presbyterians of Ballinahinch. But I love that. I love the fact that you love this place so much that many of you have a wee caravan down at Cranfield and off you go any chance you get. And folks, maybe there's days in the caravan when you're sitting there looking at the beauty of Cranfield and I think it was beautiful. Maybe it's faded a wee bit in the 20 odd years since I was last there. But you're sitting there in your caravan, all is good, and you think, you know what? Eat, drink and be merry because this is all I need in my life. Folks, be under no illusions. You may have the biggest caravan in Cranfield. You may have the best reputation in Kilkeel. You may think that everything is good in your life, but if you do not know Jesus, you have nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I know that sounds hard and harsh, and maybe even now you can't believe it, but it is the truth. Here these two men dying alongside Jesus, and one of them arrogantly thinks that he's all right. One of them arrogantly thinks, you know what? The final moments of my life, I'm going to spend them laughing at this guy in the middle. And yet the other guy, under conviction from the Holy Spirit, realizes the truth. This Jesus has done nothing wrong. We are hanging here justly, says the thief. We are getting what our deeds deserve, but this Jesus has done nothing wrong. And friends, we maybe have never stolen a thing in our life. Maybe we've always done good to our friends and our neighbors. Maybe we think we are fine, upstanding members of this community. But the reality is, as the scriptures tell us, our deeds cannot save us. In fact, our sin condemns us. And maybe today you think, I've done nothing wrong. The scriptures give a different impression. The scriptures tell us that we are dead in sin. The scriptures tell us that the wages of sin is death. And the scriptures tell us that if we die in our sin, we do not see paradise. We do not go to that place called heaven, but we go to the other place, the place that we call hell. My friends, that is the reality. That is the truth of the matter. And I know today many of you will think, well, I'm all right. But really, if you do not have Christ, you are not all right. Maybe you've never mocked him the way this other thief did. Maybe you've never done anybody any harm. But if your sins are not forgiven today, if they are not covered by the precious blood of Christ, then you are going to a lost eternity. My friends, I would love to come for a week and tell you happy stories. I would love to come and tell you everything's going to be all right. Never you worry. All is going to be good and rosy in the garden. You're going to live forever. But that's not the truth. Doesn't matter how many creams we buy from Boots. Doesn't matter how much we rub them into our face. We're getting older. And a day will come when we will not be sitting here. And that day might come sooner than we think. Maybe you won't even see the end of this mission. And I know we don't want to think about that because we're in our prime, aren't we? I know 80-year-olds who tell me I'm in my prime, Scott. I'm in my prime. I'm middle-aged. I think, really, you're going to live to 160? Are you kidding me? Folks, time is running out. It is short. Life goes past in a whisper. And today, if you sit here and you do not know Jesus, then your life is in great danger. Hear me on this, Kilkeel. Take this on board. Do something with it this day. And what do I want you to do? I want you to turn to Jesus and say, Lord, will you remember me? Will you remember me? You know, I'm still waiting on a phone call. I did a wedding a wee while ago in a place called Kilmore, and Christine Blakely was at it. You know Christine off the TV? She used to do the One Show. She's going to marry Frank Lampard, used to play for Chelsea and Man City, and she was at this wedding, and I do a lovely wedding. If you're looking to get married, bear me in mind, you know. I'll cut 10% of any price that Stephen gives you, you know. I'm good. But I did this wedding, and it went really well, and I caught Christine Blakely's eye, and part of my wee sinful head's thinking, here, she's getting married soon. What if Christine Blakely and Frank Lampard get on the phone to me and want me to marry them? Happy days, okay, magazine. They'll make me moderator of the Presbyterian Church. It'll be wonderful. But I'm still waiting on that call. She's not married yet, so there's always hope, but she hasn't obviously remembered that big handsome fella in Kilmore that day. But folks, do you know what? When you call out to Jesus, remember me. He doesn't forget to return your call. He doesn't turn you away. He doesn't say to you, do you know what? You used to mock me. You used to take my name in vain. You used to walk the streets of Kilkeel and not give two hoots about me. That's not how he treats us. This thief turns to him and says, Jesus, will you remember me? Now imagine you were in the same position. And you'd recently heard this man's name calling and his accusations and his laughter at your expense. What would you say to him? What would you say to this guilty man? Maybe you'd have told him and reminded him, oh, do you remember what you told me 10 minutes ago? Do you remember what you were laughing about 20 minutes ago? And now you want me to remember you? Jesus, thankfully, doesn't treat people the way we would. The thief turns and says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus' response to him is, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Today. Jesus knew where he was going. And instead of condemning this thief or reminding him of past sins, he answers the call of this repentant sinner and he says, "You will be with me in paradise." Utter confidence from the Lord. "Remember me, Jesus." And he says, "I will, my child, and I will never forget." And that is the same offer and invitation he gives to each and every one of you today. And you think, "Scott, even me? Because you don't know me. You don't know the blackness of my heart. You don't know what I've been up to in Kilkeel. You don't know my past. You don't know the stories that these people know about me. Are you honestly telling me that Jesus would remember me?" Absolutely. Absolutely. This thief is in paradise today because he called upon the name of the Lord and was saved. And friends, the gospel is wonderfully simple. It says exactly the same as that for you this day. Even with your past, even with your sin, even with the stories that all these people could tell you, Jesus says, "If you call upon me, you will be saved. And the one who is saved will never be put to shame." That is the promise. And today, if you call upon Jesus, then you will be forgiven. You will be saved. You will be going to paradise. And my friends, there is nothing greater to hope for in life than that. You know, when it comes to this point in the year, I'm like a stuck record. I've said it about 100 times this week already. I meet people and they say, "Scott, how are you getting on?" They'll say, "I'm doing all right because the nights are getting longer. The nights are getting longer. The brighter nights are coming. The brighter mornings too. It's great." And you maybe say it 3 or 4 times to the same person, but there's a wee bit of me that loves this time of the year. And the countdown is on to the 1st of July 2015. When I get into my wee car and leave Ballinahinch and say farewell to the Presbyterians in the town for 4 weeks and I head to the North Coast. And everybody in Edengrove knows the story. They know the rules. If you see me in the North Coast, you're not allowed to talk to me. If you bump into me, I don't want you to buy me an ice cream. If you see me across the street, don't you even wave. Don't do it. I'm sure Stephen's much holier and nicer than me. I'm sure he buys you coffee in the North Coast, but not me. Not me. If you see me, leave me alone. Because for me, those 4 weeks in the summer, paradise. Get away with the family. Hopefully the sun is shining. You can lie in. You can stay up late. You can eat ice cream. It's wonderful. But folks, nothing compares to the heaven that awaits us through faith in Christ Jesus. He promises this thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise. Today you're saved. Today you're going to glory. Today your sins are forgiven. Today you may be on the cross getting what you deserve, but soon you're going to heaven getting what you don't deserve, but what I have won for you." And friends, in the same way, Jesus calls upon you today to believe the gospel. To believe this good news that has echoed in this church and in this town for generations. Today is your day to believe it. To stop running, to stop pretending it doesn't matter, to stop pretending it doesn't apply to you. It does. It does. If you do not know Jesus, you need to know him because heaven is at stake and hell awaits you without Christ. It matters today what you do with Christ. And so, my friends, what will you do with him? Will you go away home and talk about everything except the main thing? Or will this be the day that you come and you bend the knee before Christ? Folks, what does it look like to believe in Jesus? Well, there are two parts of it. Two parts. And the first is called repentance. And that's a fancy word that we use in the church. But it simply means turning away from your sin. Knowing the seriousness of your sin, knowing the dirt of your sin before a holy God and fleeing from it, rejecting it, repenting of it, seeking God's forgiveness of it. That's the first bit. And the second bit is faith. You turn from your sin, you flee from it, and you turn to someone else. And who do you turn to? You turn to the Jesus who was in the middle of these two thieves. You turn to the man in the middle, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you say to him, "Jesus, will you remember me?" And he will say, "Yes, my child, I do. Yes, my child, you will be with me in paradise." Repentance and faith. Friends, how will you respond today to this? Or will this next fortnight just be another time where you think, oh, here they go again in Kilkenny. I'm all right. The big man upstairs will look after me. I'm okay. The good in my favor will outweigh the bad. I'm all right. Folks, put away that eye nonsense. You've believed it for too long. Today, believe the truth that you must be born again. And while there is breath in your body, there is hope. And while there is breath in your body, there is an opportunity to call upon Christ, who will not turn you away if you come trusting him as he has offered to you in the gospel. And so, friends, what will it be as this mission begins? I hope that at some point the other thief realized the error of his ways. I hope at some point, not recorded for us in the Gospels, he too woke up and realized his need of a Savior. But we cannot be sure about him. But we can certainly be sure about you. Certainly this hour, you can know for sure that you are not going to the place called hell, but you are instead going to paradise. You can know for sure this hour. And the reason I know it is because the Bible tells me it. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Folks, today, in a moment, I'm going to your lovely doors out there. And I know we're Ulster Presbyterians. We don't really do emotion. We don't like the smile. And, you know, if we're buying a suit, we like it to be grey, don't we? We're like that. So we're not good at this. But folks, today, if you are under conviction of your sin, if you're sitting there and you know, I need to do something about this, talk to me. Say to me, Scott, can I speak to you? Can I speak to you? It's my wife's birthday today. I'm heading back up the road in a minute to get birthday cake, but I promise you this. If you want to speak to me, birthday cake will be the furthest thing in my mind. I will stay here until midnight with you, answering your questions, challenging you about where you stand. But if you want to speak to me or to Stephen, do it this day. Have the courage to do it, and we will lead you to the Christ who died on that middle cross for sinners like us. Folks, nothing else today or tomorrow or this next fortnight is of more importance in your life. You know Jesus or you don't. He will remember you or he will forget you in the fires of hell. But today, what will you do about it? Let me pray. Father God, I do thank you for this church. I thank you for every head bowed. And I thank you for this mission that they've planned and are going to get into this week and the following. But Lord, most of all today, I thank you for Christ. I thank you that he is dead, or he died for us at Calvary's cross, but he is dead no more. He raised from the dead. He now sits at your right hand and he is coming back. Father, we thank you for this truth that the word tells us. And today, Lord God, we thank you for the promise that the one who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, you know our hearts. And you know those of us who this morning are under conviction, who by your Holy Spirit, Lord, we know the filth of our sin. We know the danger we're in. And Lord, even now, may there be some as we pray who repent of their sins and who place their faith in Jesus. And Father, for others who are under conviction, but right now is just not the right time, but you will bring them to faith later today or throughout this fortnight. Father, I pray that those men and women would have the courage this morning to speak to me or to Stephen at the door. But Father, we ask that you would move here by your Spirit. And Lord, we pray boldly that there'd be some who would have woken up this morning like the thief on the cross, deserving of punishment and death, but who would sleep tonight the way the thief went to his death, hoping and trusting in Christ, looking forward to the promise of paradise. Father, only you can make that change. And so we pray that there would be some in our midst who this day would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved. Even now, some here cry out, remember me. And Lord, we know your answer. Your answer will be, my child, I tell you the truth, one day you will be with me in paradise. Move here, we pray, Lord, this morning and over this next fortnight. May many come to know Christ as their Savior. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.